Over the last couple of Sundays, I have addressed some of the challenges we are facing as we live through this coronavirus pandemic. First of all, I talked about anxiety and God's remedy for that in 1 Peter chapter 5. Then last Sunday, I talked about the issue of isolation. And we looked at Jesus' time of isolation in the wilderness and what we can learn from his example. Now, in God's providence, I think that sermon was timely because the restrictions on gatherings were tightened even further last week. And a sense of being isolated from one another is really starting to hit home. Now, I am planning to eventually resume our regular study through the Gospel of Luke, but I want to take the opportunity this morning to address another part of this pandemic experience, and that is the matter of patience. The disruption to our regular patterns of life, the restrictions on where we can go and who we can be with, present a real test of patience. And maybe you're feeling tested already. Maybe your patience is starting to fray a little bit. I think especially of the mums who've been at home with little children for the last couple of weeks who haven't been able to go to the places they would normally go and spend time with the friends and family members they would normally spend time with. I'm very sympathetic to you mums. I know it's not an easy time. It's not a pleasant prospect, but on Thursday morning we learned that the social distancing laws in New South Wales are going to remain in force until the end of June. We have at least 14 more weeks of this, and so we are going to have to be patient. I can't stress enough how important the practice of this virtue is going to be in our day-to-day lives, and I'll say more about this later on. We're going to look at a text of scripture in a moment, but I want to talk for a couple of minutes about what patience actually is. One of the Greek words used in the New Testament is very helpful in this regard. It's the word the Apostle Paul uses in the verse we're going to consider today. It literally means to remain under. Now, we are living under a new set of restrictions, aren't we? Restrictions that none of us have experienced in our lifetimes. A regime of social distancing has been instituted to slow the spread of the coronavirus. And to be patient in this situation means remaining under these regulations and not shaking them off, not breaking the rules, even though for some of us it's difficult. For Christians, patience means remaining under the law of Christ, under the law of love. In the scriptures, Christ has given us not suggestions, not guidelines, but commands that touch every area of our lives. And where there is no direct command, there are very clear principles. And patience is remaining under, living under those commands, living under the yoke of Jesus in all seasons of life. If we were to limit ourselves to just the New Testament and only to what are known as the one another texts, we would see already that this regime of love is quite substantial. This is what we are called to live under. Let me give you a handful of these texts. Romans chapter 12, verse 10. Be kindly affectioned one to another with brotherly love, in honour preferring one another. Romans chapter 15, verse 7, wherefore receive ye one another, or welcome one another, as Christ also received us to the glory of God. Galatians chapter 5, verse 13, by love serve one another. Galatians chapter 6, verse 2, bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfil the law of Christ. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 32, and be ye kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. Colossians chapter 3, verse 16, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 verse 11, wherefore comfort yourselves together and edify one another. Hebrews chapter 10 verse 24, and let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works. Now this is only a small part of the rule of love that Christ has instituted. These are only some of the commands that prevail in his kingdom. And brothers and sisters, these are good commands. These are good laws. They bring real love into our lives. In obeying them, we show that love and we receive that love from others. Not the fake stuff that is peddled everywhere out there in the world. Now, this regime is good for us. It leads to blessing, it brings joy, and it brings peace into our lives. Jesus is not a cruel tyrant who delights in making us suffer. No, he is a king who wants to satisfy the deepest needs of our soul. Patience is continuing to live by his commands. It is to remain under the law of love, under the word of God. And that's not always easy. How can we do that? How do we have patience and stay patient? Well, that's what I want to show you this morning. If you have a Bible, please turn to Romans chapter 12. The book of Romans chapter 12. We're going to look at just one verse, but I'd like to read from verse 1 down to verse 13. Romans chapter 12, verse 1. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. For I say, through the grace given unto me, to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. For as we have many members in one body, and all members have not the same office, so we, being many, are one body in Christ, and every one members one of another. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, whether prophecy, let us prophesy according to the proportion of faith. Or ministry, let us wait on our ministering. Or he that teacheth, on teaching. Or he that exhorteth, on exhortation. He that giveth, let him do it with simplicity. He that ruleth, with diligence. He that showeth mercy, with cheerfulness. Let love be without dissimulation. Abhor that which is evil, cleave to that which is good. Be kindly affectioned one to another with brotherly love, in honour preferring one another. Not slothful in business, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. Rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing instant in prayer, distributing to the necessity of saints, given to hospitality. Now, text is verse 12. I read it again. Rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing instant in prayer. And let's do that right now. Let's pray. Father, we thank you that we have your word. We thank you that it is the word of life. We thank you that in it is the way of salvation, the way to know you. And I just pray that your word would be made alive to us today. Pray that your Holy Spirit would grant to us the understanding. I pray that he would take the truths therein and write them upon our hearts. Oh, Father, please feed our souls today, for we are hungry. Please strengthen us, for we are weak. Please instruct us and give us wisdom. We need that, particularly at this time. Father, I pray that you would bless these next few minutes. I commit myself and I commit the hearers into your hands, in Jesus' name. Amen. Now in this chapter, the Apostle Paul begins to unfold the practical implications of the gospel that he has taken 11 chapters to unfold in all of its richness and its splendor. On account of the gospel, on account of the mercies of God, the grace and mercy that believers have received in Christ, the Holy Spirit, via the Apostle's pen, appeals to us to present ourselves to God as living sacrifices, holy and acceptable. He appeals to us to live new and different lives, to be transformed, to be renewed. The gospel doesn't come to us and leave us where we are. It changes us from the inside out. And we are called to cooperate, to work with and work by the grace of God to become loving and righteous in our manner of life. Now, a feature of this new life is patience. And you know what they say about patience, don't you? Patience is a virtue. Possess it if you can. Seldom found in woman, never in a man. And I can see all the ladies nodding in furious agreement. Now, patience is a rare virtue these days. We've seen a spectacular absence of it as people have given in to fear and anxiety. Now, it's hard to be patient when it comes to the normal stresses and strains of life. What we're living through at the moment is making it harder still. But that said, this is what our Lord wants for us. This is needful for our well-being and for His glory. When we are patient, our Lord is glorified. In verse 12, the apostle tells us that Christians are to be rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing instant in prayer. Now, I don't have an outline this morning like I did last Sunday, but this verse does naturally divide into three parts, and this is how I'm going to work through it with you this morning. But I'm going to change the order. I'm going to start with the middle part, patient in tribulation. It's not by accident that the Apostle Paul mentions patience in this way. He doesn't talk about patience in general. He talks about being patient in tribulation. And that's because when there is no tribulation, patience is pretty easy, isn't it? When I'm not feeling tired or stressed, when my children are behaving themselves, when I'm getting on well with my wife, when my work is going smoothly, when I have plenty of time for recreation and plenty of money in the bank, it's not too hard to remain under the law of love. It's not too hard to be kind and caring. It's not too hard to help and encourage others. It's not too hard to keep my temper under control. Being patient is not very challenging at all when the circumstances are favourable, when our plans are coming together. But when there is tribulation, when life is not so comfortable, that's when it's very difficult. That's when it's a great challenge to remain under our Lord's loving authority, to live the way that He wants us to live. Now, this word tribulation in the original language is very descriptive. It conveys this idea so well, and it's also fun to say. It's the Greek word thlipsis, and it refers to the experience of pressure, of being pressed. For many, that's what the coronavirus has brought into their life. Not sickness and disease, but pressure. Financial pressure. Many have lost their jobs or had their hours reduced. For some, it's brought more pressure at work, especially for those employed in health, aged care, and education. There is increased pressure in the home as families try to cope with the disruption to regular routines, emotional children, cranky parents. There is the pressure that comes with not knowing what's going to happen and when our lives will get back to normal. And I'm sure there are other ways that we have felt especially pressed in the last few weeks because of what's happening. Maybe you're feeling it today as it sinks in that we can't enjoy one another's company like we normally do. Now, as I said, it's not by accident that Paul speaks of patience in this context, in seasons of tribulation, because that's when we struggle to have it, and that's when we most need it. If we don't have patience in tribulation, if we don't remain under the law of love, if we neglect the one another texts in the New Testament and become selfish and angry, these circumstances we're living through will cause great harm. These pressures will damage our Christian lives and our relationships. And we've all heard the jokes about an increase in the divorce rate during the lockdown. And yes, they're meant to be humorous, but there is also an element of truth. If we don't keep on living as Christ calls us to, if we don't keep on loving each other in all the ways the Bible tells us to, then this time of isolation and disruption will cause stress and strain and even breakdown in our relationships. This is the time for us to love one another more, not less. Patience is absolutely vital to surviving this season and thriving in the midst of it. Now, what's great about this little verse here in Romans chapter 12 is that it tells us how. The keys are found on both sides. Key number one, rejoicing in hope. Key number two, continuing instant in prayer. And so let's consider the first one. How can we be patient in tribulation? By rejoicing in hope. Now, this idea of rejoicing in means to find joy in or to be delighted by. The Greek word carries the idea of being full of cheer. And there are many things that have this effect on us. I rejoice in ice cream. I find joy in it. It delights me. It fills me with cheer. Now, I rejoice in my family. I find joy in creation, in music, in all kinds of things, as do you. But the Apostle Paul is very specific here. We mustn't miss it. We're able to have patience in tribulation as we rejoice in hope. Now, hope is a big subject in the Bible. I'm only going to give you the barest of summaries this morning. Now, hope in the biblical sense is a confident assurance. It's a confident expectation of some future event or outcome. Now, on Wednesday evening, I spoke to you about the second coming of Christ, and we looked at the scene that Jesus gives us in Matthew chapter 25 of the Son of Man coming in His glory. Now, we confidently anticipate His return. We're eagerly anticipating it, and that is part of the Christian's hope. We're not hoping that it might happen in that modern sense of the word. We're expecting it to happen. It's settled in our hearts because it says so in our Bible. We can think of this hope as being a bit like a diamond. When you shine a light on a diamond, you see an array of colour. And there is one future, one outcome for the people of God, but it has a number of facets, like those brilliant colours that stream out from a carefully cut stone. Let me quickly give you a selection of verses that describes this. Here are some of those beautiful rays of colour. Romans chapter 5, verse 2. We rejoice in hope of the glory of God. That we will see God's glory. That His glory will be seen by all one day. In a similar vein, Colossians chapter 1, verse 27 speaks of Christ in us, the hope of glory. Christ in us is the hope that we will one day be in glory, that we will be glorified. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 8, we have the hope of salvation. That's a reference to our total salvation, the redemption not just of our souls, but of our bodies. This broken down body, this body that's subject to the curse, will be saved, changed in the twinkling of an eye, glorified. In Titus chapter 1 verse 13, Paul says we are looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Saviour Jesus Christ. In Titus chapter 3 verse 7, there is reference to the hope of eternal life. In 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 3 and 4, the apostle speaks of a lively hope, a living hope that is ours by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, and this hope concerns an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for us. This is that precious diamond, and what we have to do is look at it and study it closely and be delighted by it. And when we think about what is in store for God's people, what's in store for us, how can we fail to be uplifted? How can we fail to rejoice? If this future doesn't have that effect on you, then either you're not a Christian or you're not looking hard enough. You're not really thinking about what's coming. The glorious return of Christ, the redemption of our bodies, the wonders of heaven, being there with the Lord Jesus in person. The Apostle Paul, quoting from the book of Isaiah, said this in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 9, "Eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him." And we're given descriptions in the Bible of what awaits us, but it's actually going to be even better. These things that God has prepared for us are going to be so much more wonderful and more glorious. This is our hope. And how it relates to being patient in tribulation is actually pretty straightforward. Calvin expresses it this way: if our joy is derived from the hope of future life, then patience will grow up in adversities. For no kind of sorrow will be able to overwhelm this joy. If we are delighting in what is to come, then we'll have joy in the present, whatever our circumstances might be. Nothing can take that joy away because our future is settled, it's certain, and it's glorious. And with that joy comes the strength to remain under the law of love. If we have real joy in our hearts, we can persevere in self-control. We can persevere in showing kindness. We can persevere in helping our children and in caring for our spouse, even when it's really hard, even when we don't feel like it. I love the picture of patience being like a plant that grows up. Joy fuels that growth, even in adversity, and nothing can overwhelm that plant. Now, if our eyes are directed there, we will find strength to cope with what's going on here. Now, brothers and sisters, this is a time for us to think about heaven more than we ever have, to think about the return of Christ, to think about the resurrection of our bodies. This is the time for us to focus on our blessed hope, to lift up our eyes and see the salvation of the Lord, to allow the Spirit of God to take all of that and fill us with joy. And as He does, we'll be able to be patient. And let me suggest to you that when you're having a tough time at home or at work this week, when you're feeling the pressure and you're tempted to lose your temper or behave selfishly in some other way, stop what you're doing and remember your hope. Think about heaven. Think about the truth that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. Take a moment to think on these things that I've just been talking about and see if suddenly you have the strength to hold it together. To be patient with your kids or to be patient with your work colleagues. God will give you grace in that moment if you look to Him. To be patient in tribulation, we need to rejoice in hope. And then at the other end of our verse, we learn that we need to continue in prayer. I'll read our text again, Romans chapter 12, verse 12. Rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing instant in prayer. Now, before I get to this last part, as an aside, I want to make the obvious point that these three exhortations go together. The Apostle Paul wasn't just jotting down a random list of things he thought Christians ought to do in light of the mercy of God in the gospel. These three admonitions go together. And indeed, they fit together with all the practical teaching in this chapter on the Christian life. And looking at our verse, one author expresses it this way. We realize that our ability to continue to rejoice and to bear up under our tribulations is dependent on the degree to which we heed Paul's challenge to persist in prayer. Now, that word persist is really the focus here. Now, in our King James translation, we have this expression, continuing instant in prayer. I don't think I've ever told anyone to continue instant in something, and I doubt you have too. It's an English expression that hasn't been in common use for a long time. Now, the underlying Greek word conveys the idea of being strong in something and sticking to it. It is to persevere, to be constantly diligent in performing some activity. Paul is not talking about praying a little prayer every now and again. Paul is not talking about crying out to God only in those moments when we're afraid or in pain. He's talking about being a person of prayer, which is what the Bible calls each one of us to be. And here I could rattle off a long list of verses, many of which you probably know. If we want to have patience, we have to pray. That's the bottom line. If you have very little patience, it's probably because you do very little praying. Those two phenomena are vitally connected. We have to pray and ask for God's help when we're feeling the pressure and when we're not. We have to pray and give thanks for who He is and for all His benefits in all seasons of life. We have to pray for our loved ones. We have to pray about our circumstances, and God will hear our prayers and minister to us as we pray. It's not just in the answers to our prayers that our Father helps us, but in the act of praying itself. Prayer lifts us from this earthly realm where all of the problems are to the heavenly realm, to where He is, to where our hope is. And in that communion with Him, we find solace and we find strength. Our heart goes up to Him and His love and grace flows down to us. So, that's the message God has for us in this little verse. And it's an important one for where we find ourselves today. I've had a hard time being patient as my life has been disrupted, and so this is a message for me as much as anyone else. Now, patience is easy to talk about, and patience is easy to wish for, but when the crunch comes, it's not so easy to have. It doesn't come naturally. But here's the way. Here's how we can remain under the loving rule of our Lord Jesus Christ during these difficult days. Here's how we can protect our relationships and bring glory to His name. Rejoice in hope, persevere in prayer, And by God's grace, you will be able to love others as Jesus calls you to. Amen.